May it please the court. My name is Jaimini Parekh. I'm counsel for petitioners. I'd like to reserve 4 minutes for rebuttal. We are here on direct review of the Bonneville Power Administration's final day-ahead market policy and record of decision, wherein Bonneville chose to join Markets Plus, a day-ahead market. The records show that this decision will raise regional power costs by $4.5 billion and increase coal-fired generation in the West. First, I'll explain why Bonneville's policy and record of decision violated the Northwest Power Act. Second, I'll address NEPA. Last, I'll address standing and ripeness.
Maybe I'll take standing up first.
Yes, Your Honor.
Because I think that's your tough argument to make. Seems to me that the BPA hasn't formally joined Markets Plus yet, have they?
No, Your Honor.
And it seems to me that as of today, Markets Plus doesn't even exist.
No, the market is in development, Your Honor.
And so therefore, some have predictions about what Markets Plus, how they will operate or what they do will do, but we really don't know right now, do we at all? We're making a good guess. That's all we're doing. Isn't that true?
Your Honor, this court has held that.
Well, I'm not asking that. I'm just trying to put this in the framework. I mean, some are making predictions what Market Plus will do, but we don't know, and we won't know until Market Plus is up and running, right? For sure.
We won't know for sure once the markets are.
And it's possible that if BPA sees that Markets Plus operates poorly, that it won't join at all, right?
Isn't that true?
All they've done is go to this point, invested some money, but they can back out anytime they want to.
Bonneville may change its mind as to whether or not it wants to.
And you haven't suffered any injuries as a result of the policy or the rod at this point.
But
you suspect what will happen, but you haven't suffered any injury whatsoever.
Why don't you go ahead and answer the question?
petitioners are harmed by the series of actions that result and consequences that result from this direct policy directive to join Markets Plus. One of those consequences is the decision to no longer pursue participation in EDAM. Bonneville has made clear that that's something that they are no longer considering. That is where the significant power significant power savings that could be coming from participation in EDAM accrues immediately with this choice. The other issue,
suggesting that we should take jurisdiction in this case because the BPA will not help EDAM.
The decision.
Is that what you're arguing?
Our argument, Your Honor, is that this policy directive narrows the scope of Bonneville's future actions to participation in Markets Plus, and that direction is what's causing harms to petitioners. Those harms include foregoing participation in a market that the record shows will result in substantially lower power costs for the region. It includes departing from the Western Energy Imbalance Market, which has saved Northwest Power customers millions of dollars, as well as kept the power on during very difficult winter storms.
Those are potential issues, but what's the effect for standing and for going forward in terms of harm of BPA's announcement that it made a final decision at the conclusion of all the study to join Markets Plus? What does that mean?
What it means, Your Honor, is that the agency is choosing to join this particular market. And as a result of that, it is going to undertake a series of steps that will facilitate entrance into Markets Plus.
So does it matter as to your standing now that BPA could get into this and then decide, whoa, this wasn't such a good decision? Does that matter at this stage?
No, Your Honor. This court has held in SF Herring Association versus Interior that the possibility that an agency might reconsider its decision doesn't make that decision non-final. This court has also held that injury need not have already occurred. It need only be imminent and reasonably foreseeable. And both of those conditions are met here. There is a very distinct line of actions that Bonneville itself has identified, a timeline of events that it will undertake to join Markets Plus, and that causal chain is what's causing harm to petitioners. I'll turn to the Power Act claim. Power Act Section 839BD2 requires that any action taken by Bonneville pursuant to 839D shall be consistent with the power plan. This statutory language is broad and applies to any action. Here you have a final agency action that was issued after 2 years of deliberative public process, culminating in a policy directive to join Markets Plus. And that specific language, policy directive to join Markets Plus, is at 1 ER 61. There's no dispute that Bonneville issued this final action pursuant to 839D. In the legal opinion, in the record, Bonneville stated that the day-ahead market policy falls within the scope of Section 839DL2, which authorizes the agency to investigate interregional exchanges of power. Since this decision was issued pursuant to 839D, the Power Act required that it be consistent with the Northwest Power Plan. However, it was not. Bonneville never addresses this statutory obligation in its briefing, and the statute is clear and it resolves the issues. I'll also briefly highlight that this outcome is supported by the purpose of the Power Act. In 839B, states through the Power Council are given authority over resource planning with the goal of balancing the need of low-cost power with protecting the environment, especially endangered salmon. The consistency...
So if I look at this, and I look at they're supposed to go along the plan, and I look at the plan, which is, I understand your argument, the plan doesn't say that cost is the only consideration. You agree?
Agree, Your Honor.
In fact, there are multiple factors that Bonneville Power has to consider, right?
That's right, Your Honor.
One of them is cost, but then they also have to look like things like reliability. They look at environmental impacts. They look at governance. All of these they have to look at, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
So if this gives, the plan gives BPA the discretion to choose between the options as to these factors, how can I suggest on my standard of review that they didn't do that? Because the standard of review for this is what? Arbitrary?
Arbitrary and capricious and contrary
right.
to law.
Arbitrary and capricious. So they've got all these different factors they've got to look at. And now I read their 300-page opinion, and I read through what they've done. And they have all these options that they can take on these different factors. And the only way that I can undo it is if it's arbitrary, capricious.
Your Honor.
I'm having a tough time.
Could I ask you a follow-up question?
I mean, I'm just trying to get you to, if you will, tell me how I find this arbitrary and capricious.
First, I'll point out that Bonneville has stated that it is not required to make a determination regarding the consistency of this policy direction with the Council's power plan. That's at 1 ER 275. That is a direct statement by the agency. Well,
I appreciate what their argument is, and I'm going to give them a little business about that, too. I think they're talking about they've got to comply with the plan. But if I comply with the plan, so I looked at the plan. I've looked at BPA plan, and I say to myself, with all these options, it's a little hard for me to overcome with the standard of review I have on appeal.
Your Honor, the plan requires consideration of a host of factors. Specifically, though, I'd like to focus on two, which is that the market participation should drive cost savings, and also that...
Well, that's all. I'm sorry, I don't...
Answer your question. Go right ahead.
And also that the agency has to take due consideration of the environment. The plan provides for the due consideration prong as both through a quantifying and calculation of the environmental costs of each of the options, and also ensuring that a strategy that the chosen option is consistent with state climate clean energy laws.
So, Judge Smith's question, we appreciate that. Judge Smith's question is, how is this an arbitrary and capricious decision?
It's arbitrary and capricious, Your Honor, because the agency has failed to consider important factors that are required by law. Here, those factors include the significant environmental costs and also whether or not the agency's decision was consistent with the Northwest Power Plan.
There's a really important distinction here. I think it's very clear that there's sort of subparts to this question. One is whether there's something wrong with the factors the agency considered or whether they had the discretion to consider them. You've already conceded they didn't have to necessarily pick the least costly option. The next question is whether you're asking us to reweigh or rebalance those factors. And I don't really hear you making that argument, but correct me if I'm wrong. What I heard in the end is that your answer to the question is that this is an arbitrary, capricious decision because the agency failed to consider a factor, the environmental consequences. But
yes, Your Honor.
Do I have that right? It's come out in bits and pieces. So
yes, Your Honor. So with regards to cost, what the business case analysis that the agency has considered here is different to the incremental system type cost analysis that is laid out in the plan. So that cost analysis requires comparing resource alternatives to consider the system costs of each alternative. And here, some of that was done when you're looking at the substantial differences in the costs that were identified in the record. But that incremental system cost is also supposed to include environmental costs, such as the cost of greenhouse gas pollution, the social cost of greenhouse gas pollution, and things like that. So the analysis that's required under the plan is very different to the kind of analysis that Bonneville has done here.
You have two big issues, of course. We've got the Power Act and we have NEPA. So before you run out of time, I'd like to focus on NEPA. And I just want to assume there's a NEPA violation. And, you know, maybe it doesn't need to be an EIS, needs to be an EA. But I come to the question, if you're correct that there is a NEPA violation, there's a real important question on vacatur. And that is, if it's actually vacated, wouldn't the Bonneville Power just republish that same policy, but there would be a lag time? And what happens to this $40-plus million commitment that was already made to Markets Plus? So how does that work if you're right, but you also want a vacatur?
Yes, Your Honor. Would you mind restating your question, Your Honor, just so that I understand?
I'm assuming there's a NEPA violation.
Yes, okay? Your Honor.
Now the question is, well, what do you do about it? So
right.
One alternative is you vacate. The other is that you don't vacate, but you send it back and we then do the environmental appropriate studies. But my question, you know, you want a vacatur. Am I correct on that?
That's right,
okay.
Your Honor.
So the actual question I asked was this, that if you have a vacatur, won't BPA just republish the dam policy? And what happens to this investment that's already been sunk of $40 million plus dollars made to Markets Plus?
I understand the question. The Bonneville would have to undertake an analysis of the environmental impacts. So vacatur would be a really important remedy here because Bonneville has not undertaken any review of the environmental impacts. And so starting at the basis level is thinking about how vacatur would give the agency the requirement to consider those environmental impacts before it reached its decision on what.
But we could also remand.
Get her answer to this? Because I'm trying to understand both the vacatur impact and the investment impact.
With regard to the financial commitment, Your Honor, a direction from this court saying that the agency has failed to consider the factors required by law That would, with strong direction to maintain consistency with the Power Act and NEPA, that would be critical to ensuring that the agency's decision is not colored by its financial commitment to Markets Plus.
So basically, so what about the $40 million? Is that the answer?
We did not challenge that specific contract in this appeal.
I'm just looking at the practical impact.
Yes, Your Honor.
You know, we're trying to figure out, even if you're right, we have two ways we could go. We could vacate, or we could not vacate, but we could still require the environmental analysis.
Understood, Your Honor.
But that was really the import of my question is, you know, we're not here to micromanage. We're here to figure out, you know, we have only two kind of major paths, it seems to me, if you're correct about the environmental under NEPA.
Vacater is critical here, Your Honor, to address the irretrievable commitment of federal resources.
Well, what's the test for where? I know you know the test, but we're going to look at the seriousness of the violation and then the disruptive consequences. And I don't see pushback after solar energy on the seriousness of the violation. I don't think this was a swing and a miss. Opposing counsel can correct me. I think there in this record there was not an attempt to make, you know, an EA to do this analysis. That's just at least a hypothetical. So I think I'm very interested in the answer to Judge McEwen's question about the disruptive consequences, because there's different verbs before the $40 million. Some folks are saying it's sunk or committed or spent. I don't know that we know what happens. I think I read the word commitment to $40 million, but I don't know what happens to that money. Do we know that, or to that commitment, if this were to be vacated?
If Bonneville ultimately decides not to join Markets Plus, they would lose that financial commitment that they have made.
We don't have that in our record, do we?
It is in the record, Your
Honor. Where, please? You mean they would still be obligated to pay the $40 million?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, so that's a little different than saying they've paid it, but you're not contesting that they would be obligated to pay it. Is that right?
That's you're right, Your Honor.
Okay, and I'm interested in, you know, we have quite a bit of case law, other cases, because vacater is the presumptive remedy, but we don't always vacate, and I'm sure you're familiar with those cases. And sometimes when we haven't vacated, there have been a lot of jobs, sometimes hundreds or thousands of jobs at risk, or maybe in the middle of constructing a power plant, or I'm trying to figure out how those other considerations on those other cases map onto this one. Could you speak to that, to the
yes,
disruptive nature of a vacater?
Bonneville has not asserted that there's going to be any disruptive consequences from vacater.
Well, they're just, I think they're relying on the $40 million, aren't they?
No, they in the responsive briefing regarding vacater, they did not assert there will be any.
Well, I think I agree with you. If they briefed it, I can't find where they briefed it. I think they asked to be able to come back and brief it. Is that what you're referring to? We don't have
yes,
an
Your
argument?
Honor.
All right. So could let's just take it from your team. From what we know of the project, from this developing Markets Plus, I'll call it a project, do we know if there would be a loss of jobs, for example, or whether a kind of disruption is fairly predicted?
Your Honor, a decision by this court vacating, I don't believe that there would be a loss of jobs or any kind of other impact, because it would be the market development contract has already been funded through a bank loan. So Markets Plus is going through the development process. Bonneville can withdraw from Markets Plus and not participate in Markets Plus. That's not going to affect whether or not the market is actually set up. That's where all the financing and commitment is happening. So I do not believe there will be any impact to jobs, Your Honor.
You have other questions? This point, anyway? Yeah. No?
I was going to say, if we vacate, we know they're going to lose their $40,000. If we just remand, get to this point and just remand back for the making. I don't think it's anything to do with they haven't done anything yet, but we say you got to have an environmental impact. You got to have something. You got to have some assessment. You got to have something. We've got cases, and that's what my colleagues are really talking about. Some would not vacate. They would just remand because they look at what's going to happen if we vacate and what's going to happen if we just remand. And so I'm saying to myself, you got a few years. They're going to, if they go back and invite, why not just remand this and tell them they should do an environmental impact assessment?
Your Honor, I believe.
Why do you have to vacate?
Your Honor, I believe vacater is really important here to address the taint that has been created by the financial commitment, which was done without any environmental review. By making that commitment without having undergone any environmental review, Bonneville has tipped the scale in favor of Markets Plus. If this court does not vacate, it is in effect blessing that decision and undermining the statute itself.
Thank you for your response.
I'm going to start right where you ended with our friends over here at Bonneville.
Counsel, you can plan on 2 minutes when you come back, but we're going to hear from opposing counsel now.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Never find the button. There it is. Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Courtney Olive, and I'm representing Respondent Bonneville Power Administration. With me at council table is Erica Dute of Bonneville's Office of General Counsel. I'll start right where the court did with the severe standing problems that the petitioners have in this case. And as the court readily identified, petitioners failed two out of the three required prongs for Article III standing under Lujan. First, their injuries, they have no injury, in fact. And secondly, their injuries are not fairly traceable to this decision, this simple policy decision, strategy.
I talked to them very carefully about that, but I now want to talk to you very carefully about that. Don't the policy in the ROD note that your decision to join Markets Plus is final?
No. They do not say that at all.
What do I find it? I think what do I find at 1ER2?
So the decision was to move in a direction towards participation of this market.
Council, can I just so you have it all out there? Judge Smith has alluded to ER2, where it says it's a final decision to join markets, and then at ER6, it's a conclusion of their policy development phase, and it is committed to day ahead and specifically participation in Markets Plus. So those are the statements, the sound bites. I just wanted to add to Judge Smith, and could you respond to that, please?
I'll take that. I'll take that gentle
friendly
amendment.
Friendly,
fair.
I was just trying to say you got to think about that.
If I have my pages right, and apologies, but this version I have doesn't have the ER stampings on it. But you're reading from the executive summary of the policy, page 2 of the policy itself.
Well, I can get back.
Is that one ER2?
ER2.
I believe we're looking at the same document, but what the document actually says is, Bonneville will adopt the recommendations in the draft policy and pursue participation in a day-ahead market, and specifically pursue participation in Markets Plus. That is not joining Markets Plus. That is not signing some contract. It's simply a business strategy to say, at this point, this is the market we like better, and as of May 2025, this is the one we will move towards.
On my scorecard, I am one of three. This is a tough argument for you, and I'm not sure how much time you're going to spend on it. That's why I'm trying to signal. But, sir, I think it's a really tough market because there's the briefing that we have. Maybe it's less than complete, but the briefing we have says that BPA has then gone forward and made $40 million commitment in a separate contract.
Yes, but as we've illustrated to the court, that is merely standing ready. SPP, the market operator and the one developing Markets Plus, went out to get a loan to do this development of the market, which the market doesn't exist. And various potential market participants like Bonneville said, I'll stand ready with a certain amount of money to help you do that if you need it.
Okay,
so we've not paid anything.
So, but you can't have it both ways. If we get past standing and we find that there's a problem with complying because there wasn't an attempt to comply with the environmental obligation, then when we come to remedy, and we're going to look at the seriousness of the violation, I think after solar, there isn't much to argue about this being a very serious obligation because there wasn't. I'll let you come back as soon as I ask the question, because there wasn't an attempt to comply. There wasn't an attempt to produce an EA. And now what you're persuading me is that there aren't going to be seriously disruptive consequences.
So NEPA doesn't require the attempt here. There was nothing that triggered the NEPA review, okay? It is okay for an agency not to do an environmental assessment or even a categorical exclusion if on the facts and the technical matter the agency has determined that the NEPA review is not triggered here. And the court's case law says that reviewing that agency determination is to be done under an arbitrary and capricious and deference to the agency, especially when it turns on a factual question.
Well,
like
let me
this.
Ask you.
And I can talk about solar if you want.
You know, we're skipping around here, but.
Yes, a bit.
When, in your view, would this case be ripe for challenge on an environmental basis?
When BPA made some binding legal commitment to join, signed the contract, the participant agreement to join this market, that would be the point.
Opposing counsel argues that there is injury because you've made a decision to pursue day ahead and to not go with the other option, the EDIM option, and then sign this commitment, this financial commitment. Why is she wrong?
She is wrong because her brief can say up and down that we have decided to join, but that is incorrect. If you look at the wording in the decisions, it says throughout, we are going to move forward. This is page 2, bottom of the first paragraph in the executive summary. Let's see. We are trying to inform market stakeholders about the scope of subsequent actions towards market participation. And the third paragraph, last line, Bonneville will adopt the recommendations in draft policy and pursue participation in a day-ahead market and specifically pursue participation in markets plus. It's not our hands are tied.
So you're saying we have to wait until after all this big study that the plaintiffs would have to wait until you sign and Markets Plus.
Yes, because otherwise the court is wasting its time. I mean, this is all theoretical.
The consequences of not going with Markets Plus at this stage.
The consequences of not going with Markets Plus would be that I suppose whatever portion of the $40 million has been expended, Bonneville may be have some obligation to be on the hook for that. I don't know specifically. I haven't reviewed the participant agreement or the phase 2 funding agreement closely recently enough to tell you precisely, but so I'm a little uncomfortable saying exactly what the consequences would be live. But what I can tell you is that they may say it over and over in their brief, but this, I appreciate that it's unusual for the court to sort of peer into the decision-making process of a business agency like this. I don't think this really ever happens with other agency review. But a business is going to say things, and Bonneville is designed to function like a business. Our statutes make that clear. It's going to say things about our plan is this, we like this one, we're going to start devoting, you know, some more time into going forward with this market. And I can represent to the court an important development after briefing has closed. And since a lot of this relates to jurisdiction, I feel a little comfortable going outside the record. But we have a brand new administrator, just been on the job a little over a month.
I don't think that matters.
Well, I can assure the court
it might matter to you, but it doesn't matter as to standing at the time the suit was brought. So
very well, Your Honor. Well, it would.
Oh, forgive me.
The decision making is ongoing. Is my point, Your Honor?
Excuse me, counsel.
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to get clarification before we go on past standing, because it does say final decision to join, and Bonneville Power is a very sophisticated party. So these words have meaning, and I now you're telling me the. I don't know what you to make of your answer to Judge McEwen's question, where you say, because we operate as a business, businesses are going to say things, and I'm not sure you got to finish that thought. I want to make sure you have a chance to do so.
Sure, thank you, Judge Kristen. The point was simply that I know there are a few isolated statements in the record that may look as though we had committed to this market, but there was no commitment to this market. There was simply a decision to move towards joining. Okay. And the decision-making process is ongoing. We talked a lot about the subsequent phases that remain before we would join. It is not imminent at all. We would have to do a rate case proceeding. We would have to amend the terms and conditions of our transmission tariff. We would have to amend our major 20-year provider of choice power contracts. None of that has been started. All those. So if this were a decision to join, then we would have done those things.
I have another question. If you don't persuade at least one of us on standing, and we go to the Power Act, and we talked a minute, I just want to make sure you have a chance to talk about this as well. We go to the Power Act. There's an argument. I thought the argument, in part, was that Bonneville Power was obligated. Pursuant to the plan to adopt the least costly alternative. I think maybe that was, I don't think that's correct. And I don't think that's the argument that was presented today here. But I think opposing counsel is presenting the argument that in making this decision that Markets Plus was the most cost effective alternative, that it's up to Bonneville Power how to weigh those very many factors, that I think there are 8 of them. To be sure the court's not going to reweigh those. But her argument is there was an arbitrary and capricious decision because it didn't include the cost of the environmental consequences. What I'm interested in is I didn't see a place where I could even figure out what the next steps would require, much less put a price tag on them. There's a commitment to meet environmental consequences. But I can't see where those have been quantified at all. So here's the deal. I know it's a long question, but I don't know what it means to make a cost-effective determination without doing something to quantify these other steps that your agency would be statutorily obligated to take.
So, Your Honor, very, very candidly and directly, the agency does none of these standards apply. The agency is not acquiring a resource. And those standards are all directly tethered to the acquisition of a resource in the Act. And that's why we explained that this market, our legal analysis concluded, well, it's akin to an interregional exchange. And petitioners have certainly agreed with that and said, this is an interregional exchange. Well, under the Power Act and under, generations of industry understanding, an exchange is not at all the same as a resource acquisition. And your 1997 NEDC case makes that quite clear. I mean, it relies on the same type of, or the petitioners there relied on the exact same logic of the petitioners here. They pointed to 839DL and said, well, because that mentions interregional exchanges and resources together, the petitioners argue that 6C procedures must apply to acquiring a resource. And the court said, no, this is not a resource. This is an exchange, so end of story.
We're familiar with that case, but this decision, where she starts in her decision tree, is that this decision was made pursuant to 839D. Is that right?
In fact, I think
the authority was under the interregional exchange. I don't know that I directly agree with that, Your Honors, respectfully. There is other in our actual legal authority discussion, which comes about 5 pages prior to what my counterpart has been citing. We do not cite to that interregional exchange authority. Instead, we cite to, this is at 1 ER 75, the first page of the legal authority discussion, 832 AF and 838 F. That's our founding statute, Bonneville Project Act, authority to contract, and the Transmission System Act, designated system marketer. Okay, so those are the primary authorities we were relying on, and later in the legal assessment, Section 6 of that legal assessment at 1 ER 83-84, we also cite to 42 USC 16431, which is the 2005 Energy Policy Act, as an authority, because it envisioned regional transmission organizations and the creation of markets like this. So those are the main authorities. We simply had this other discussion saying, well, we understand what this market can sort of be viewed as through a statutory lens. You can think about it like akin to an interregional exchange. And they've glommed on to that discussion, which isn't in the legal authority section of our.
So I read through this. I got the idea that you think your authority comes from 839DL2. not DL1 or DL3?
So DL2 is the authority to investigate interregional exchanges.
Yes,
and
right.
All we've said is let's take...
Now, just a minute. I understand that's what you get. So DL2, as I understand it, is a part of 839D. And so in my view, Section 16 U.S.C. 839BD2, joining markets, which is an action pursuant to 839DL2, needs to be consistent with the plan.
No, Your Honor. Respectfully, that's dead wrong. And it's the petitioner's argument, so that's why it's dead
why
wrong.
Why is it wrong?
It's wrong because...
That's what I want to know.
Yes.
Because I read through it, and I read that you don't have any problem with it's under 839D. Now you're disputing that.
Well,
but then I thought that you say that your authority comes from 839DL2.
Well,
so then I'm just trying to put it in perspective.
Even if you view that as part of our authority, 839DL2, which we didn't include in the legal authority discussion of the policy, but even if you view that as the path to authority, their arguments are dead wrong because that's talking about interregional exchanges. And the council's plan and all these requirements about considering due consideration to environmental impacts, cost impacts, those all fall under a resource acquisition part of Section 6. They do not fall under this generalized sort of precursor section, which is in 4, and that's the 839BD2 that you're talking about. All that says is you must be consistent with the council's plan. Well, guess what? The council's plan doesn't mention the words interregional exchange anywhere in it, and that's at 16 ER 4543 through 4681. Why is that? Because the council recognizes that an exchange is not the same thing as a resource, just as in NEDC 1997 recognized, just as the statutory interpretation that we've laid out in our brief shows that exchanges are entirely different things than resource acquisition. And so all these provisions of Section 6 about considering costs and due consideration of the environment, out the window.
Council, you said several times, in a very sweeping way, that none of these standards apply. And I am at a loss. So let me just back up.
Okay.
Because I read your brief the way Judge Smith read your brief, and I thought you were invoking 839D. But let me just ask you, when you say none of these standards apply, is it your contention that the May 2025 document did not need to comply with the Power Act plan?
It did not need to comply with the resource acquisition provisions because this
what provisions
exchange
did
is not a resource. And I can show you factually.
Sure. I don't want to talk about factually. I'm just trying to figure out which provisions you think you were bound to in the plan.
We were simply this was.
Or are you really taking?
Excuse me, sir.
Or are you really taking the position that you took a minute ago? And I don't mean to take it too literally.
Sure.
But you said none of these provisions apply.
None
and so
of this
and
section.
So my question is it your position that the May 2025 document need not comply with the plan?
It need comply with the plan only to the degree that it is consistent with the plan. And if the plan does not address interregional exchanges, which it does not, then we are consistent with that. The council, I would challenge the court and invite the court to look through this 97,000-page record and find anything where the council talked about any of this stuff. The council participated in this process, but they submitted no comments suggesting that BPA should comply with the plan or that we certainly not that we weren't complying, and they're never shy about commenting on this stuff. So they understood. You know, if I could just explain the factual way the market works, that may help. BPA is not getting resources from this market. I mean, we've made clear that at 1 ER 16 through 17, market participants are obligated to bring a resource portfolio to meet their expected load. So if you participate, you've already got to have enough resources. You're not getting any from the market. It's like an in-kind arrangement. That's why we said it is akin to an interregional exchange. Exchanges as an industry matter are simply not the same as a resource. That's why Congress didn't include exchanges in the definition of resource at 839A19. That is why That is why BPA has consistently defined them separately, and we did, this is not a post hoc rationalization, we did cite this at 1 ER 81 footnote 202, are two separate definitions of exchange, and that's why they come from separate statutory authority bodies. I mean, our exchange authority predates by 40 years our resource acquisition authority. They are
completely
separate.
I understand your distinction between the exchange, the market, and then resource acquisition. So I want to move to a different topic. Let me move to a different topic.
Fine. I didn't think I would spend as much time on it. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. This both goes to standing and I suppose also to the NEPA situation. So in the NEPA regulations, it says an agency should not commit resources, prejudicing the selection of alternatives before making a decision. So your position is you haven't made a decision, but you have committed the $40 million to Markets Plus. How does that square with the regulation?
Yes, Judge McEwen. So that commitment of resources, that's in a NEPA context, that is almost invariably talking about natural resources and the agency committing, you know, forest land to be logged, for example. It rarely, if ever, applies to a financial commitment, and only if that commitment would later limit the agency's choice to only that action. And the record is clear that the $40 million does not limit our choice to only this action.
I understand your position as well. We got the $40 million out there. We got the financing. But we can still decide not to go with Markets Plus. That's your position.
Absolutely.
Okay. So let's just assume, and I know you wouldn't agree with this, but let's assume they're standing, and then let's assume there is a NEPA violation, and that you at a minimum need to do an EA. I discussed at some length with the council as to the Northwest Energy Council as to the difference between vacatur and non-vacatur. If it were to be determined that you need to do an environmental assessment, would you comment on what the impact would be if there were a vacatur and if there were not?
Your Honor, I'm rather uncomfortable commenting on that, given, you know, given the sum in question here. I mean, I do know that the full $40 million, as I said, nothing, you know, has not been spent to that degree yet. So we're not on the hook for that much. So,
And you haven't made a final decision in your view.
Right. And so it would sort of like be vacate. It is, the thing is called a policy. It is a business strategy.
Okay,
so it would be vacating the I'm not even sure what.
What I'm trying to get to the heart of, because, you know, these energy cases are complicated and these markets are complicated. I've had plenty of experience with these markets, as you know.
That you will have.
Some 200 cases. So I'm really trying to understand, you know, what would be vacated, and if it were vacated, what would be the impact? So you've said, hypothetically, and I know you aren't buying the argument of the other side, but hypothetically, not all the money has been spent, so that's, the money is not a big thing. Would it make any difference to getting to what you call your final decision?
Well, if this business strategy turns out to be a moot point, you know, if, as the agency has complete discretion to do, it changes, you know, its direction and moves towards towards EDAM, the California market, mm-hmm. then I mean, I suppose this would be a waste of everyone's time, wouldn't it? I mean,
so you're saying that you'd be doing an environmental assessment on something that isn't, so to speak.
Exactly. I'm saying that, you know, the standing problems are very similar to the reasons why NEPA review was not triggered here, because there's been no ground-altering impacts. This is a business policy to move towards a market. BPA is not building anything. We're not changing the way the system is operated. You know, the water still moves through the dams the same way. All those parameters are set within established boundaries. And this court's case law is clear that, you know, Trout Unlimited, 921 F second at 235. When an agency is continuing within the range originally available, that does not constitute a major federal action. So let's
assume that a final decision is made to go with Markets Plus somewhere down the road, okay? At that point, then, in your view, there would need to be an assessment as to whether this is a major federal action that would trigger NEPA at that stage?
Yes, the facts would need to be looked at again. You know, is this a point of commitment would be the first test. Here we have zero point of commitment. That's clear from the record. FERC itself reviewed this same question and
we have zero commitment, but you've signed a contract for $40 million?
To stand at the ready. I mean, that contract, you can think about it like an option, if you will. You know, we wanted the option for this market to still be available and something that we were interested in pursuing. So we said, yes, we'll raise our hand as one of the many potential market participants and stand ready. So it's not, you know, we haven't paid.
I mean, the market doesn't exist yet, right?
Right. And FERC addressed this exact question and was very clear that nothing about that $40 million. You know, they said we disagree with these same petitioners, raised this same question at FERC, and then never challenged FERC's final order or appealed it. FERC specifically said at 16 ER 4511, we disagree with these petitioners that phase two, that's the $40 million funding agreement, requires BPA or any other market participant to move forward with this, to participate. BPA specifically said that it, at 1 ER 252, retains the discretion, you know, to decide whether to do this or not. So we're not obligated. We haven't changed the way the system is operating. We're not obligated to go forward with this. And beyond that, all you have are speculative, you know, third-party actions of what might happen if certain other utilities join this market and what they might emit. And that's all out the window in seven counties.
Can I make sure I understand the market?
Sure.
It doesn't exist now. It exists in hypothetical form to join, but it's not, been put into place. It's not been put into action.
Correct, Your Honor.
And what would it take to activate the Markets Plus and in terms of the day-ahead electricity?
Well, it was not slated to come online until fall of 2027, and Bonneville's prediction of when it might be ready to join was 2028, October of 2028. So there's nothing imminent here at all, and in fact, with the time that has elapsed since then, my understanding that I can represent to the court is we're not at all prepared to even meet the 2028 deadline. So a lot would have to happen. For BPA, we would have to amend those provider of choice contracts I talked about earlier. We would have to do a rate case proceeding, which is a huge statutory proceeding. We would have to do a transmission terms and conditions change.
So would the rate case proceeding have to precede the standing up of the market vis-a-vis?
Not the market could come into existence without us.
Yeah, it could go without you, but vis-a-vis Bonneville,
it would have to precede that. Yes, it would.
Mm-hmm.
As with the transmissions terms proceeding, as with the giant provider of choice 20-year contract amending process.
So you're wildly over your time.
I understand.
So I'm going to ask you to wrap up, please.
But I took you there, so.
Yes.
It's helpful.
I appreciate the court's indulgences here, and I will. If I got to talking a little fast at the beginning there and apologize to the court if I was at all interrupting anyone, that was certainly not my intention. So,
thank you, counsel. We'll hear from opposing counsel, please.
Very good.
Your Honor, first I'd like to highlight that this decision, Bonneville did not contest that this was a final agency action. And this decision is the critical juncture at which the agency considered alternatives, it considered the costs and benefits of those alternatives, and it chose to move forward with Markets Plus. And that's really important both under the Power Act, but especially under NEPA, because at the heart of NEPA is the importance of considering alternatives to the agency's preferred action.
But just when you say that BPA didn't contest that this was a final agency action, what's your best citation in the record for their acknowledgement or concession on this point?
My best side for the record on that point is their is 161, 1ER61, where the agency says that this is a policy directive to join Markets Plus. I think the record cites that the court cited as well, 1ER2, the letter with the agency saying that this is a momentous decision to join Markets Plus.
Do you agree with counsel that BPA could make a determination at this point not to join?
They could, Your Honor. That would be a change in the future, but that doesn't change the fact that this is final, Your Honor. I'd also like to point the court to Biden v. Texas, which is a recent Supreme Court decision where the court held that an agency policy is final if it binds the staff of that agency and directs them to undertake certain actions. That's what this policy directive is. It is a direction to the agency to undertake the numerous steps that it has to undertake to facilitate joining Markets Plus. Some of those steps were identified by Bonneville in the argument today, including amending provider of choice contracts, instituting a rate case, changing their business practices, changing transmission tariffs. All of those were outlined as next steps in the attachment A to the supplemental declaration of Benjamin Otto, showing how this decision is resulting in a cascade of legal consequences that is changing how power providers engage with Bonneville to implement this day-ahead markets choice. I'd also like to very briefly touch on NEPA, which is that this decision of markets has a significant impact on the implementation of Oregon and Washington's clean energy laws. That is something that we have argued in our briefs and the state amicus briefs have found as well. This court's decision in Solar Industries finds that that is a potentially significant impact, the kind of requirement that requires preparation of, at the very least, an environmental assessment. Thank you, Your Honor, for your consideration today.
Thank you both for your argument. We appreciate your advocacy. We'll take that case under advisement and stand in recess for the day.